this is the thing that annoys me about this entire issue and conversation, because they'll turn around and they'll say, no one's calling you a birthing person. Okay, does someone need to call an individual who finds the N-word offensive the N-word in order for him or her to find it offensive?
Communities targeting you. For example, you know, Anna Kasparian doubles down after, this is earlier, this is like 6 months ago, after bashing trans-inclusive term birthing person as degrading to women. Okay, now somebody's going to be like, well, wait a minute. Anna would never, is this the same Anna from Young? That's not possible. That can't be. This is a mistake. This is a fake story, right? She would never debate birthing person. She should be okay with that. But no, progressive media host Anna Kasparian stood firm in her criticism of the term birthing person as degrading to women. She responded to backlash with humor, stating, laughing out loud, the meltdowns over wanting to be referred to as a woman rather than a birthing person is pretty wild, and emphasized her refusal to apologize, saying, I'll never apologize for that, especially as a biological woman who has had the effing lifetime of being told I'm less than. Some progressive criticized Kasparian for her stance, comparing her to J.K. Rowling and accusing her of bigotry. Transgender activists clarified that the term birthing person was not used to describe individual women, but rather to include trans men and non-binary people in discussions about pregnancy. So I listened to this. I'm like, okay,
if a woman,
what's wrong with being called a birthing person?
Well, first of all, not all women even have the capacity to get pregnant. So it's degrading to them to be essentially to have their womanhood questioned if they're unable to have kids to begin with. But also, I mean, look, this is the thing that annoys me about this entire issue and conversation, because they'll turn around and they'll say, no one's calling you a birthing person. Okay, does someone need to call an individual who finds the N-word offensive the N-word in order for him or her to find it offensive?
I gotta be honest, with context, it's worse. I did the fair thing. I let it build. You know, I wanted to not just, you know, clip it out of nowhere and be like, hey, have you all seen this clip? Pretty wild, right? So now we have the context. So, yeah. Yeah. Now, I'm not a black person myself, so I can't speak to this. I don't know what it would feel like. I imagine it's fucking horrifying and horrible to be called the N-word. A word that is not being used, again, to erase the term woman, that is simply being used as inclusive language, is in no way comparable. Jesse Battle says, Lance is so disingenuous. All right, you know what? Don't take it from me. Take it from this person, okay? Listen to this person talk about this.
And he, along with other Republican lawmakers, deserve to be dismissed on this issue because it's bad faith. They know. They know there's a difference between gender and sex. They know that it is very possible for someone to be born a biological male or a biological female, but in terms of gender, identify differently as a male or non-binary, but they still have the biological capacity, the physical capacity to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. So that's why the language, the rhetoric is inclusive to include those people. It is not a big deal. Okay. But they make it a big deal. They manufacture it into a big deal because that's all Republicans are. That's all they have. This is all they do. Endless bad faith arguments meant to fearmonger and direct hatred and fear toward other Americans, typically powerless Americans, while they rob you blind, by the way, while they enable corporations to rob you blind.
Yep.
That's what this is about. I'm so sick of it. I'm so sick of it. I'm so freaking sick of it.
Yeah, the one blessing.
Medical providers are basically like told that there will be penalties if they don't use the proper terminology or if they're caught doing anything discriminatory toward the trans community. Now, if they're actually doing something discriminatory toward the trans community, I think medical providers absolutely should face consequences. But the idea that we should change all of our terminology, even toward women who want to be called women, in order to be inclusive is ridiculous to me. Now, if a transgender person wants to be called that, fantastic. I respect it. I'll do it.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'll engage in it. But I think in the context of my relationship with my doctors, I want to be called a woman. It's not that difficult. It is my personal preference. Okay. That doesn't mean that I.
But I, again, I fail to see who's taking that away from you, though, because you just said people aren't actually using that term or calling you that term. And you've said, well, yeah, but people don't have to call me that term for me to know that it's offensive. That's the same thing as the N-word. You don't have to use the N-word for someone to know that that's wrong. But if people aren't calling you that term, and people are also trying to use more inclusive language when discussing issues such as, yes, people who can give birth, that includes cis women, that includes trans men, that includes non-binary people who give birth. It's not erasure. It's we have a wider understanding. Again, I could just play the clip of Anna. You explained it so perfectly, you know, months ago.
In any way believe that transgender people should be treated differently or that they should be discriminated.
Right. But see, the problem is they are. That's the thing, right? Like, there's so many bills. And I know you know this. I'm not saying that Anna is opposed to fighting against all these Republican bills on trans people. TYT is very clear about that on a regular basis. But they are using this as a wedge issue on a regular basis. Because, like, I thought this one would have went away. But we're still talking about birthing person. That is being used specifically to be able to get people in a position where they can be like, well, that is offensive, actually. I see this, you know. I'm critical about gender, and now I'm becoming gender critical, and I'm understanding that, you know, I'm for trans rights. I understand that, you know, trans rights are human rights. They should have equal rights. But also, inclusive language in this regard could be used to erase the very thing that is woman.
...against, or that they should not live lives of dignity. I have had an entire career defending them, supporting them, and this one issue led to ridiculous outrage among a fringe component of that community. They are not representative of the entire transgender community. And for that fringe component, if they think that they're going to shut me up and force me to say things I don't believe, they've got another thing coming. Okay? I'm going to say what I think every single time.
Do you think they're crossing the line a little bit and it's getting a little bit too ridiculous in certain sectors?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
they turn people off with it. And again, it is a...
So now we're back to civil rights with caveats, right? Yes, equal rights and inclusive language is generally a good thing, as you yourself have said in that clip very eloquently. But yeah, once again, LGBTQ plus activists are going too far. They're just turning people away with this topic, which, again, I haven't heard anyone talking about outside of Anna. like I converse with a lot of LGBTQ plus people and activists and, you know, social media influencers and people who are advocating for the rights of queer folk a lot. And they're not bringing up birthing persons.
Fringe component of the transgender community. And they don't even realize how counterproductive they're being.
And who's allowed for that to happen? Who's been
who
a part
this?
Of that becoming a reality? Who do you think?
Look, I think most people want to do the right thing, okay? And so they want to be as accepting and tolerant and inclusive as possible, mm-hmm. and they don't want to come across as being in any way discriminatory. And I respect that. I think that it comes from a good place, but they shut their brains off sometimes and just go along with things without considering maybe some of the unexpected consequences, how others might feel about what they're engaging in. I think that there's this conflation with the gay community and the transgender community, because think about it. Like, I think a lot of people on the left think
We're
of the trans
LGBT
community
Alliance
the same way they thought of the
stuff.
Gay community, right? Like, yeah, why not legalize gay marriage? Like, what's wrong with that? Who's it hurting? But when it comes to some transgender issues, there is a lot on the line, right? Like when we do talk about kids transitioning, you want to make sure that we have a system in place where there's a proper protocol implemented to ensure that we're not transitioning kids who might not actually be transgender.
You think it's okay to transition kids under the age of 18, even if the parents can?
So, by the way, that exists. Like, you know, it is an often far right talking point and right wing talking point. Actually, I shouldn't just exclude the right. The right are doing this all the time. So are a lot of fucking centrists and center writers. But overwhelmingly, yes, this is something that every major medical association in the United States agrees upon. There is not a system of a revolving door situation where kids are going into a doctor saying, hey, I am confused. And then they're like, well, you must be trans. Let's begin the transition immediately because it makes us lots of money. So there's a financial incentive for us to want to transition you as quickly as possible. There is multiple consultations. Again, for children, when we're talking about children, if we're talking about under the age of when you experience puberty, typically, you know, under 11 to 12 years of age, at that phase, gender affirming care is not surgeries. It's not hormones or anything like that. It is affirming someone's gender, maybe allowing them to use different names or pronouns, maybe dress differently, wear their hair differently. That's it. And the fact that we continuously focus on this, it's because once again, this is an opportunity where the right sees that they can enter the discourse and get past people's perhaps assumed bigotry of them. Because if you're going into a discussion and you're like, hey, no, I'm not here to say that trans people shouldn't be allowed to transition. I'm not here to say that. But I am saying that we should really have a careful look at what we're doing, especially for giving, you know, children experimental drugs and all that kind of stuff. We don't really know a lot about what does Lupron do or hormone blockers. We're not entirely sure. It's up for debate. So I just want to make sure that we understand this is a very, very important issue.
Yeah, so it's like, what about this? Mm-hmm. And what if I want to get it? I'm like, dude, let me just put it to you this way. When you're 18, you can get it. Mm-hmm. Till then, I'm not going to support you getting a tattoo. After that, do your thing. My goal is to try to encourage you and as much as I can to one day.
Cool. So, yeah, tattoos and trans people, comparable decisions in life, certainly. Because, you know, sometimes you get a tattoo and then you regret it later, you know? Like, so it's just like the stretch marks and it just like it changes the way, you know, if you get like a face of Nixon on your back, it gets distorted as you get older. So just the same thing. Like, in a lot of these cases, by the way, it is children telling their parents, not the other way around. Children, like, you know, pleading with their parents saying something's wrong. I don't feel like a girl or I don't feel like a boy. I'm not happy. I'm depressed. And when you watch or listen to interviews with the parents of children who transitioned, it's almost always that it's just like it is a life-changing experience for them where they are just a different person. And even, you know, the most, like, Fox News has done interviews with the parents of trans kids where it was like, I'd rather have an alive son than a dead daughter, because, like, yeah, I noticed immediately the complete change in personality of someone. And it's one of those things where, like, can any of you ghouls for 2 seconds try to put yourself in the headspace of what it would have been like growing up if you were suddenly growing into the wrong gender? Like, I'm a cis dude. I'm incredibly comfortable being a dude. I could not imagine suddenly turning into a woman against my will and then having to go through puberty and then having to go through all these changes and then all of a sudden seeing, like, you know, giant tits growing and then all of a sudden all this stuff happening and all, like, that would be horrifying in addition to everything else that is, like, horrifying to go through during puberty in the best of times. You know, even fucking cis puberty is its own horror show. Like, oh god, I'm finally a man, I sound great now. Like, yeah, but, like, over and over and over we're hearing the same thing. Well, I mean, when you get a tattoo, obviously you realize not a lot of people, that's a life decision, and then people regret that life decision. So isn't this a life decision that people will inevitably regret? And have you seen that there are people who do regret it? I mean, I don't know if you talked to Ollie London, for example, but Ollie London regretted it. So thereby, we should probably platform those voices and talk about how this entire thing is dangerous. Let's not look at meta studies that conclusively have been showing time and time and time and time again. When we look at studies from around the world, different countries, that the regret rate for transitioning, even amongst people who transition at a youth age, is very, very low. Sometimes less than 2% in some studies. Why are we still platforming this? This is so absurd and cruel.
So, puberty blockers, I think, should not be, like, outlawed. Okay. So there's puberty blockers, and then there are the cross-sex hormones.
Pre-18 pre-pubertal blockers you're okay with?
I think in instances where there is a proper protocol in place to ensure...
Come but, on. But I'm okay, not so a little science.
Let me wrap up this.
You hear what they're trying to do? Come on, Anna. You're so close. One of us. Come on.
The outcome of these 20, it hasn't been 20 years to see how much these kids are going to have suicide. I think at 14 years old, I get what you're saying. The parent, it's your kids. I would never get involved. I could give a suggestion, but to alter a child's biological makeup in the long run, I just don't.
Here's a question.
The thing with puberty blockers is it depends on how long they're taking it, right? If they're taking it for a long period of time, there are possible side effects that are damaging. And
again, if you look at the Endocrine Society and their recommendation when it comes to puberty blockers are again used as a pause while people are deciding if they want to begin taking hormone replacement therapy. At which point, when they go on hormone replacement therapy, they no longer will be taking puberty blockers. And that's... It's something that there is no controversy or debate when cis kids are using it for precocious puberty. It has been shown to be safe and reversible. Yes, it can have effects like anything else you take. Medication has effects. Viagra can fucking kill you. Absolutely. This is why it is being done under the supervision of medical professionals. And yes, there is checks and balances put into place to be able to determine whether or not it is an effective and safe treatment for your child.
Would cause irreparable harm. So I understand where you're coming from. When it comes to the surgeries, though, I'm entirely against the surgery.
Okay, so that's good. Good that we have one step. But I want.
Wait, what? So people can't even get top surgery? What about cis women who get breast reduction surgery? I had a friend, one of my close friends in high school, she got breast reduction surgery. She was a cis woman, and it dramatically helped her. She was having a lot of back problems. What are we doing here? Again, we're deciding to pick and choose what healthcare should be available to a minority when that same healthcare is available to cis folk.
I want to ask you this question. So, you're Armenian, I'm Armenian. Mm-hmm. There's another legendary Armenian out there called Jack Kevorkian. I don't know if you know who Jack Kevorkian was.
Dr. Death.
Suicide, right? Okay. He was Armenian, legendary, right?
Michigan.
They made a movie about him. I think Pacino played or De Niro played.
Pacino
played him, yeah. So this guy, you know, hey, life is hard. You want to commit suicide? I'll do it for you. Don't worry about it. Life is very hard. So what if we get to a situation where mom and dad consent, son comes, daughter comes saying, life is so freaking hard. Wow. I can't do it. I want
comparing
you
that to Dr. Kevorkian. This is so fucked. Like I said, that would be the only appropriate answer to this entire framing. I would be like, this is fucked. I think that's the closest thing I can get to that. This is completely fucked. So if it wasn't clear before, just so everyone knows, the very high rate of reported suicidal ideation amongst trans people is because of societal stigma, because of assholes like this, because of bigots like this who spread this fear-mongering shit that lead to other people who may be well-to-do, but I was just checking out my favorite financial podcast, and apparently they're mutilating children or something. Disgusting. I want to put a stop to that. It's the societal stigma that leads to these children having high rates of anxiety, depression, and yes, contemplating suicide. That is the reason for it. We have to work really hard, being cis folk, to stop this bigotry, to stop spreading this bigotry, and to explain and teach other people that this gender-affirming care, again, is approved by every major medical association in the United States. This is not something, like, the medical community is not having this debate. It's weirdos on the internet. Weirdos on the internet are saying, well, we need to be able to have a debate on this one, okay? Let's slow down. Now, I don't personally have a trans child, and I don't have children myself, but I'm now going to have a very strong opinion on why they shouldn't have health care, the same as everyone else has access to.
To take me to the modern-day Jack Kevorkian, okay? Mm-hmm. And I want you to take my life away, and mom and dad pray on it, and they say, look, if that's what our...
According to the American Society of Plastic and Reconstructive Surgeries, in 2020, nearly 230,000 cosmetic surgeries and nearly 140,000 non-invasive cosmetic procedures were performed on teens aged 13 to 19. Is there a debate? Is there a debate on thousands of children, hundreds of thousands of teenagers getting cosmetic surgery? getting nose jobs. I mean, hey, that's permanent, you know? That you could get another nose job. You can certainly try to do reconstructive surgery afterwards. But I mean, if you're getting, you know, facial grafts and stuff like that, I mean, word. What about plastic surgery to get breast augmentation? Well, what about that? What about cis people who get these kind of procedures? What about a cis man who gets breast reduction surgery because of a condition that he has as a teenager? Because people get that. And they should have access to that.
Kid wants, let's go take him in.
I mean, look, obviously I'd be against that because we're, maybe if I explain where I'm coming from, you can understand my thoughts on this, right? I want to implement policies that cause the least harm to people, right? Transgender teenagers exist. And suicide rates among transgender people, especially if they're not able to feel comfortable in their own bodies, right? That suicide rate is real. And so how do we balance, okay, the concerns of potentially causing damage to kids who aren't actually transgender? Because that exists, right? There are detransitioners. And my heart breaks for them because they were on puberty blockers for a long period of time. It did cause harm to their bodies, irreparable harm. And so I feel bad for them, and I want to minimize the instances of that happening as much as humanly possible. At the same time,
but it's one of those things where why are we platforming something that, if you look at meta studies on this, occurs at a very, very small percentage? Like, why should we vilify an entire use of healthcare if it is effectively helping a lot of people, the overwhelming majority of them? If, like, anywhere between 96 to 98% of people don't end up regretting transitioning, then why is it when we talk about this, it's like it's the 2%, the 2%?
For teenagers who legitimately are transgender, I don't want to cause harm to them by entirely banning a medical process that could be beneficial to them. My point is, I don't believe that it is up to me to decide. I don't believe it's up to anyone in this room to decide what the right course of action is for them. I think it's up to the parents, the doctors, and, you know, the individual in question themselves.
Okay, then leave it at that. That should be your talking point. That's what you go in there. And as they try and bait you into all of these culture war aspects of it and try to find wedge points, that's all you have to say. It's like, I believe this should be a conversation between children, their doctors, healthcare providers, and, you know, obviously the societies that investigate and determine what is the best possible course of action to take in this case. That's who should be the people determining this. That's it. You don't have to add, but puberty blockers could be potentially harmful, unsafe. Let's look at some, some instances where individuals have regretted it. That's obviously kind of scary. Deeply against any kind of gender affirming care surgery for trans people, specifically, under the age of 18 as well. I mean, that is you adding your own opinion on this topic.
With euthanasia, but to me, mm-hmm. and I want to stay here. This isn't a pivot. This is such a ridiculous distraction. What do I mean? Mm. Okay, there's so much going on in the world. Okay, we're at $33 trillion in debt.
You've been talking about this intentionally for 18 minutes on your podcast. This was the topic that you've been talking about. We started at the 30-minute mark, and you have been talking about this point after point after point after point. I just want to say, by the way, this whole thing is a distraction. You know, it's distracting us. You are distracting yourselves.
We got runaway inflation, interest rates are to the roof, people can barely make their car payments, mortgages, everything that's going on there, foreclosures. We're on the verge of a regional conflict that can go to World War III. And in America today, we're debating what the fuck is a woman?
No,
what is happening in American society that we're even having this long, elongated discussion where it's poignant and it's very like tangible, like, all right, birthing person, woman. It's like the rest of the world is looking at us and they're laughing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but like again, this is something that like the scientific community is currently debating, and you're reflecting their discourse, which is just dominating the culture wars. This is something that you just haven't come to terms with. You're not accepting the current findings of where we're at, and so you've made it into your own culture war at the same time. That's all this is. And doing it fucking over and over and over. Why is this distracting us? Why? Let's talk about it for 2 hours on the podcast to make sure it never distracts us again.
That America can't even get their shit together. This beacon of hope, this beacon of light, this shining city on a hill, this amazing situation that we have in America, and we're
you know, we've got all these problems, debt, you know, global conflicts, wars, they're trying to shut down everything for some kind of so-called disease, pandemic, I don't know, it's all nonsense. And at the end of the day, they want to start telling us that there's more than three states of matter. What the hell? I can see it with my own fucking eyes, bozos, okay? Water, that's a liquid. Gas, that's a gas, all right? Solids, boom, three states of matter. What the fuck are they trying to teach us at this point? They're distracting us with this bullshit plasma, trying to distract us from the real important issues that matter.
Discussions of whether Anna over here is actually a woman or not, or she's a birthing person.
What's your question?
So my question is, why are we so preoccupied with this? Is this not one big distraction? The culture war, the identity distraction.
It's a distraction of our own design. Why can't we stop talking about this? A lot of viewers, a lot of super chats asking them, oh God, they won't let us talk about anything else.
From the topic. But No.
I'm not distracted.
But you are, though.
I'm asking why this is such a
big topic. I don't want to go to that topic. I want to stay on this topic. That's a complete...
I want to keep distracting us. Hey, why are you trying to point out that we've got, some would say, a very unhealthy obsession with this topic? No, I want to keep talking about it. I want to keep distracting. Slow down, bro.
Different topic. Let us transition away from this. I'm still on this topic. The question we're asking right now is very important. We've gone through trans. She's not for the transition. She's for the medicine, pro-hormones, in some cases. Then I bring in Kevorkian. Is that something that we should allow parents to do if the kid wants to take their lives because it's hard? She's then saying no. Then it goes down to some people from trans are having true mental issues that they're going through, which is the next thing you said. Fair, I'm with it, but I want to know why. The other day, I have this guy at the Rob. What's our friend's name that we talked to? The plumber, legendary plumber Eric Hecker, who's a Raytheon whistleblower. I can't wait for this to come up. I'm telling you, you will be entertained the entire time. But he said something very interesting. He said, "You know, what is mental illness? And how long has mental illness been around?" He says, "You realize if you have heart issues, we can show you have heart issues.
Yeah.
You got a murmur, or you got blood clots.
High blood pressure.
Or you got high blood pressure. There is data to say that." He said, "How do we measure bipolar? How do we measure, you know, depression? How do we measure all?" And he's going through all, asking all these questions. And he says, "How do we know?"
So, by the way, you don't go into a psychiatrist's office and then say, "I'm bipolar." And then the psychiatrist is like, "Okay, here's some meds." That's not the process. So I'll tell you, because I've actually been to a psychiatrist to find out that I had ADHD. They do a lot of screenings. There's a lot of screenings that they do, and there's a lot of questions, and there's a lot of questions when it comes to certain categories to find out whether or not you are not, in fact, perhaps bipolar. Or perhaps schizophrenic, or perhaps you have a different condition. And then they start to determine, based on the way that you respond to a lot of these questions, to be able to make an assessment. That's the process.
We don't know that. So you go to a doctor. What is actually the test for a doctor to know that you have bipolar ADHD? What's the test? He's just asking you a few questions.
Well, yeah.
What are you dealing with? What are you there is no test. There is no data.
It's not just what are you dealing with. Numbers hurt my brain. Okay, well, I mean, what do you think you have? I'm bipolar? Okay, yeah, checks out. I asked you the question. You answered. Here we are. What do you want in terms of drugs? We got a lot to offer. I have a profit incentive. That's why I'm doing this. So here we go.
I scored this or you're the... So I'm sitting there listening to this guy. I'm saying, first of all, I don't, you know, okay, maybe, interesting point. But then what has this led to? It's led to a multi-billion dollar product, Big Pharma. Okay, so how profitable?
There it is. Pretty much just, I'm doing a bit, but sometimes the bits just turn into reality.
Well, are these transitions? How profitable are these puberty blocker products? By the way, I know you're saying, you know, why are we talking about this? There's other things going on in the world. For people that have kids, this is a major concern to them because their kids are being...
Because you have made them scared as fuck. Yeah. All of these kind of podcasts. Like, hey, you just got home from work, honey. How was it? It was nice. On my commute, I listened to my favorite financial podcast. It gave me a whole bunch of advice. Also told me that, by the way, if your kid is trying to transition, that apparently is not real or something like that, and that we don't really have any basis for knowledge of this. And then, puberty blockers cause high rates of suicide or something like that. Either way, we got to make sure that we stop this scourge on society.
fed this bullshit on a daily basis at public schools, and parents are concerned, very concerned in some markets. I'm not concerned at this point because I've been talking to my kids about this stuff very closely, and we have certain resources. Not everybody has certain resources to put them in public schools. So for me, all I'm going back to is when you were saying the depression, you know, where people are at. If you work with me, like if let's just say I'm talking about this yesterday, Melva, our nanny, 13 years, she uses the word pobrecito with the kids. Pobrecito. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Like pobrecito? A little poor baby.
But yeah. I'm like, Melva, they're not poor. These kids are not poor. Don't tell them they're poor. Yeah. And Jen will say, poor Brooklyn. I said, babe, Brooklyn is not poor.
She has a cell phone.
She doesn't have a cell phone, but don't put that word in her mouth. Certain words we use, that's the parent's responsibility. You allow those words to become real, and the parent didn't stop it. Tom,
many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You with two daughters, you're seeing this exchange in this topic. I told transition, because I know Adam wants to talk other topics.
No, we're gonna get not at all. This is important to discuss.
What is your thoughts when you're hearing Anna and I discuss this?
Well, I have a unique perspective. My wife is a career teacher, educator. She's taught in public schools, LA Unified Public School, as a matter of fact, for 10 years, and she's taught in private schools since. And I have two teenage daughters. And so I have a house full of portable reproduction units. And we...
That's not insulting? That's as a joke? I thought, okay. So that one's funny, right? But if someone wants to use inclusive language to include people other than cis women in discussions, that's deeply insulting. But yeah, joking that women are portable reproduction units. Okay. I get it.
Took me a second, but okay.
I don't know how they feel about being called that.
They're laughing their pals. If anybody has a couch I can sleep on for the next couple of days, let me know.
I got you, Tom. I got you.
But in all seriousness, what is happening in schools is kind of dangerous. We've gone to a movement of ratify and separate. It is in the public schools, is ratify what they feel, whatever they feel, and then separate them from parental decisions. It is an intentional, it's a program, it's what the public schools want at high school. We want to ratify what you're saying and separate you from your parents. Whereas mental health experts will tell you, you want to, you know, process and counsel. And that involves bring the parents in, but that's not what the schools want. And so I see it on that side, where I can see schools that are actively, and administrations and public schools that are actively, Pat, trying to separate the kids from their parents in the first place. And this is another way they do it, rather than processing and counseling through, you know, and you don't have to come down on the kid, but it's
how do you think you get gender affirming care? What do you think the process involves? Did you think it's magic? Did you think kids say, I'm the wrong gender, and all of a sudden all these drugs and surgeries appear before them to choose from? There is a process. There's multiple processes.
Now let's process it and let's counsel through. Because most of the suicides come from isolation. It's the isolation in their own mind, and it's one word.
No, again, this is very incredibly well documented. There's multiple studies on this. The reason for the high rate of trans people, trans children specifically, experiencing suicidal ideation is because of social stigma. Because of assholes like you who refuse to learn anything. Well, I'm just going to speak on authority on the subject. My appeal to authority is that my wife, portable birthing vessel, teaches in a private school. So I just want to know, this is where they're trying to separate us. And then all of a sudden, it's as if there is no kinds of checks and balances for any of this kind of stuff. And it's like, no, you don't get gender-affirming care by summoning it. You have to go through a process through medical professionals. There is tons and tons of gatekeeping in regards to this.
Don't tell your parents. They'll freak out. There is an assumption that's at the front of it. I agree with you 100%.
I want you to look at this chart, Tom. U.S. sex reassignment surgery market.
Markets.
If you guys are looking for a great investment, this is fantastic.
Yeah, that's serious, Pat. Serious.
Mark, well then, that's why don't we just fucking abolish all healthcare altogether? Because look at all the money that's made from breast implants. Did you see the statistics I brought up earlier? 230,000 cis American teenagers get cosmetic surgery from the ages of 13 to 18. That includes breast implants, that includes skin grafts, that includes nose jobs. Seems like a lot of profit is going on there. Yeah. What about people who need their appendixes out? What if it isn't cosmetic? What if it's not about gender-affirming care? What if it's just fucking a life-saving procedure? Oh, a lot of money in that, though. You know, all these kids getting their appendixes out. Oh, or it might explode. Well, a likely story at the end of the day. Look at the amount of money made by the appendix removal industry, all right? All appendixes matter. Yeah, I can say this bit now as someone who is sans appendix, you know? And I didn't have to pay anything. Didn't have to pay anything to get my appendix out. And it was inflamed. And it was going to hurt me. But goddamn, why don't you apply the same logic then to just broadly speaking all healthcare? Well, seems to be a profit motive. Interesting. If only there was something we could do about that. Well, can we talk about Medicare for All, perhaps? A public option so people don't have... No. This is because of big trans and the trans lobby. Look what they're doing here. There's money to be made, that's all I'm saying. And then they convince all these people that they need these things. And then some of them regret it, right? How many? Usually less than 2%. That does seem dramatically lower. How many regret knee surgery? Sometimes 40%. Well, that's a lot of people. Should we vilify that? No, there's no money there. There's no angle. No one's going to care if we go on a crusade about going after appendix, you know, havers or people who got knee surgery and didn't like it. This is where the money's at. Right here. Talking about this. Vilifying this.
Fantastic investment. Like
Michael
right
Burry
here.
Over here.
Look at these procedures and how it's climbing year by year.
So you're thinking that the increase is really driven by the health industry.
Oh my God. I mean,
interesting.
Look, think of, and by the way, I don't think I would consider as one of the possibilities. I'm not saying this is it. I'm a guy that wants to weigh out and do odds, right? This is a very profitable business. Like when you think about how much Prozac makes, how much these pharmaceutical companies make. And then, so the business model is this.
So wait, what? So like, there's so many discussions you could be having right now. So, hey, there are instances in which SSRIs can be life-saving to some individuals, especially individuals who experience severe depression, and there is no other alternative for them, right? There's also the industry, the pharmaceutical industry, big pharma, yeah, them. They spend more money on advertising than they do on R&D. So, yeah, there's absolutely a problem with all of daytime television in the United States being flooded with constant commercials where they try to say, hey, do you have ennui? Do you have trouble in social situations? Well, guess what? We got tons of drugs you can take. Here you go. Take all these drugs. This is the cure to happiness. So that would be something to discuss. We're talking, and you were talking about this topic. I guess you're transitioning into a completely different one now, about gender-affirming care, which again affects a very small percentage of the population who are consistently and constantly vilified by bigots like you.
So that's going to come in 10 years. Here's the $8 billion. Guys, very responsible CFO. What a great job you did. And we'll call this $8 billion a marketing expense. It's not a marketing expense. It's a future lawsuit that's going to come that you screwed a lot of people's lives, okay?
Yeah.
So this pharma thing is not like a hypothetical. There's so many books written on people from Big Pharma that left the industry, were sick of it, and they said, this is really what's going on behind closed doors, and you got to kind of pay attention to it. By the way...
So stop trying to take marginalized communities' healthcare away. Stop trying to vilify them. Stop making up lies. Stop doing like zero research on this topic and just spreading vile filth. And then go after aspects of the pharmaceutical industry that are predatory, that are bad. There are a lot of things you could talk about. There is a lot of fucked up shit that Big Pharma does. Again, you don't use this as a way of trying to say, and that's why I think a percentage of the population shouldn't have access to healthcare.
Very profitable. And typically these guys, if you look at lobbyists, which industry has the biggest lobbyists? Can you pull up the biggest industry of lobbyists? Biggest industry of lobbyists. There's insurance is going to be up there, but you'll see pharma's up there. Oh, there you go. Look at the number right there. Pharmaceutical and health product industry has spent the most lobbying over the last 24 years. I think you and I may be on the same page with lobbyists. These guys are going around like getting massive paychecks.
By the way, there has been so many opportunities for Anna to butt in there and then start trying to use this platform, which is a massive platform, right? To start spreading a lot of ideas and start bridging a gap in ways that could be beneficial to leftist causes without having to sacrifice or throw trans people under the bus in the conversation, right? There's a great entry point. Be like, yes, you know what? We do agree that there's a lot of problems with Big Pharma. And I speak out frequently against Big Pharma. And hey, there's a really big problem that they spend more money on advertising than they do on research and development. What about the fact that they take tons of money in public funding and government grants, and then they use that to make life-saving vaccinations and then sell it back to the people without giving people the ability to mass produce it, even though they are the ones who made it. They're going to continue to profit off that. That's fucked up, right? Maybe we should nationalize those industries. Maybe if we nationalize those industries, we could get untold amounts of new beneficial drugs and stuff like that that we haven't even had the chance to do because, again, they're spending so much money on advertising rather than research and development. Tons of great talking points. If you've he's already ready for it. He's ready and baiting you into this conversation.
Making all the money in the world, and they're imposing laws.
I'm not cutting you off. What a great point, because I was just writing here, question marks. Why? Why the push? Why all this? Big Pharma is back. Just great example, because why is the left, all the government pushing it so hard now?
$5.2 billion spent on lobbying the last 24 years. That's freaking insane. $356 million was just in 2021.
And that push is working, Pat. Guess one out of four high school students in America identifies LGBTQ plus two, whatever the, they're at.
Now we're back to being fucked up bigots.
The wave that has been made by... You know, the hyper-liberal left on this. I think they're surfing the wave, but they are sure...
So it's a woke mind virus. Yeah. Just, you know, exposure to social media is just turning the kids gay. That's what's happening here. Yeah, so let's make one point where it's like, it's pretty wild, the pharmaceutical industry. They spend so much money on lobbying. It's almost as if, you know, the capitalism and corporations, they can inherently corrupt the political process. True. And now what, one in four kids is identifying as LGBTQ+. So what's going on there? Are they being influenced into becoming queer? And then they're using that to be able to pay the pharmaceutical industry so they can make more money. Have we talked about this? Sitting there and being like, well, yeah, it's true. No one uses the term birthing person and hasn't used it on me. But I mean, do you have to use the N-word to know the N-word is bad? That's all I'm saying. And it's like, you're comparing the use of the N-word by white people towards black people to inclusive language about birthing person, not even erasing the term woman, but saying that women and people who give birth, you know, because there are people beyond cis women who can give birth. It's just science.
Do you enjoy the SERPs but prefer not to have to use your eyeballs? Many are saying this. Well, we've got the solution for you. It's the SERP Times in podcast form. Available on most major podcasting networks now. If you enjoy it, please consider leaving a good review and feedback because it really helps the show out, apparently, and it's free, just like the podcast.
Thank you so much for watching, everybody. This show is produced by amazing people like you, and if you want to help us out, please consider donating over at patreon.com/theserfs. The show is made possible thanks to Amazing Fletch, Anna Loves Riley, Ariane McCarthy, Cheryl Alvarez, Doug Cady, Everything Important, Hagbard Celine, Lamedia Panza, Matthew Scarborough, Multimondi, Omni, Peanut Butter Blondie, Political Papi, Quiet 185, Rachel K, Riley and Anna, Roller Dragon, Ruby K, Sir Nickus, Spinach Monster, Stellar Vision, Sebastian Demel, Tech Tink, Trevbot EXE, Words Greenwood, and not to mention all of the amazing and fabulous people you now see before you.